You are tuning into Pro Bono Perspectives, live from Brooklyn, where the city never sleeps and purpose is more than just a buzzword. Pro Bono Perspectives brings together leaders that have traveled across sectors, industries, and experiences on their path to creating change for the communities in which they live and work. And I'm your host, Danielle Holly, CEO of Common Impact, a national nonprofit that designs skills-based volunteer programs that amplify the impact of social change organizations by harnessing the talents and the skills of private sector employees. I am lucky enough to cross paths with these leaders every day through my work with Common Impact and can't wait to bring you behind the scenes to share their stories. Today, I am joined by Natalie Paquin, the president and CEO of Points of Light, a nonprofit that was founded in 1990. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary this year by President George H.W. Bush as an independent nonprofit organization, encouraging and empowering the spirit of service. Now, 30 years later, Points of Light is one of the world's largest nonprofits dedicated to volunteerism and community service and civic engagement more broadly. Today, Natalie and I are going to talk a little bit about how volunteering sparked her career, how COVID has impacted the volunteering sector, and then just her own personal journey in balancing strength and vulnerability in leadership. And she also brings us behind the scenes to discuss how Points of Light pivoted their annual in-person conference that starts tomorrow, June 10th, to a virtual event and everything that was involved in that. Welcome to the show, Natalie. It's great to have you here.
Great. Thanks, Danielle.
So we get a lot of guests who have very different nodes of their career, having worked in the public sector, the private sector, nonprofits, all with social impact purpose. And your career has truly been a fascinating example of that. You were in legal and executive roles in government, education, Girl Scouts, now Points of Light, and have had numerous, I think upwards of 10 board positions along the way in very different mission areas. What have you learned from such a diverse career, and how did it land you where you are right now?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me to join. The way that I ended up leading in the volunteer space was really as a volunteer. I started out in litigation. I was a lawyer in the education sector for about 15 years, working in civil rights and two large school districts. And then when I was in Philadelphia, really volunteered in the arts space and in the nonprofit space. And, you know, got offered a couple of positions, and that led me to the position that I'm in. And so I would say that if professionals are looking to change careers or looking for different opportunities, volunteer, and volunteer with something that you love, and you never know where that would lead. I wasn't looking, but they found me, and I'm so glad that they did.
It's amazing how service and volunteerism can, it just surfaces for people what they're passionate about, right? It's a low risk way of working with organizations that you connect to in some way, and that often leads to a career. And it sounds like that was very much the case with your
career. Yes. And I would definitely encourage people to make sure that it's something they're passionate about, because when they show up in a very authentic way.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So tell me, you've had a lot of different types of positions and a lot of different types of organizations. Is there a theme or a similarity that you've taken away that helps you in your current position or in leadership in general?
Yes, absolutely. I think the one theme that is constant is, as a leader, you're only as good as the team you lead. And it doesn't matter what business you're in. Every business is about people. It takes people to move a business. It takes people to improve a business. It takes people to be successful. So the theme is to invest in your people and pay attention to your people. And then, of course, in nonprofit, it is about finding people who are passionate about what you do, because there's a saying, no money, no mission, no margins, no mission. So you really have to identify people who support the work and want to invest in the work And those would be the themes. I think running a business is running a business. You have the operations, you have the HR, you have your finance, you have your teams, and then you have whatever that particular product or service is. But focusing on people and then finding the connection of people who want to invest in your mission is what is constant.
Tell us about Points of Light and its origins. You're now leading a very large team of people, one of the largest, if not the largest, organization on volunteering and service that was founded by President George H.W. Bush and is a nonpartisan organization, truly feels that way. I would love to hear a little bit more about the work of Points of Light and how it got started and where it is now.
Sure. Thank you. Well, Points of Light is, we are 30 years old this year, and it was founded by President George H.W. Bush. Our mission is to inspire, equip, and mobilize people to take action around the world. We believe, and this is a part of our ethos, that every action matters and everyone has something to give. And, you know, we want to create a world where it is impossible to sit on the sidelines of change. And that means erasing barriers and for people to enter civic engagement and get involved. Our network is a network of corporations, nonprofits, and individuals. We are in 37 countries around the world in over 200 cities. We mobilize each year about 5 million individuals to get engaged. When you think about those numbers, it's really about the silent economy of people in improving community. And that's what we're excited about. When we think about our access to people, our network affiliates are connected to thousands of nonprofits in their communities. And we did a survey about a year ago and realized that we could reach 2 million people with a press of an email without any support, just us.
Wow.
And that's incredible, and it's powerful, and that's who we are.
And talk about the environment right now. So we're talking in late May. We've had a little more than 2 months of the COVID-19 crisis under our belt, and I remember one of the first things I read about the crisis is the drastic drop in volunteer workforce that nonprofit organizations were experiencing, particularly food delivery and food service organizations that relied on not only in-person volunteers who no longer felt safe, but also on boomers, right, who were a high-risk population for COVID-19. Just one example, but clearly this has changed the volunteer landscape. What are you seeing in terms of needs of organizations, in terms of how people are engaging?
Yeah, sure, Danielle. Oh, it's such a great question. And one of the things that we're seeing is, which I think is the beauty through COVID, is people still want to help. They want to be involved. I think the love for humanity shines through in this instance, where, you know, people who are used to volunteering and those who are not want to be involved. And so what we're seeing is that we have to find either safe ways for people to get involved, if it is around donating blood or helping with food insecurity, distributing much needed PPE or lunches, food to people. And so in that case, we've worked with our affiliates and they followed CDC guidelines and creating, I guess, the rules of engagement to safely volunteer in person. But we've also seen organizations really, come up with more innovative ways to deliver their services virtually. And so we've definitely seen people do that. I mean, I think you've seen probably some of the videos where people have sewing circles and creating masks and writing notes to seniors and just doing things from the comfort of their home. That's what we're seeing.
And bring us into, I feel almost silly asking this because no one has a crystal ball, but what are the ways you see what we're dealing with now changing volunteering and service. I see, just from Common Impact's perspective, you know, I feel lucky that our pro bono programs translate pretty well and easily to a virtual environment, very dissimilar from what we talked about in terms of the kind of in-person volunteer workforce where nonprofits are having to figure out, like, how do I operationalize my model without the same level of volunteers. But there's still systemic changes happening, right, in terms of the way that people are thinking about engaging, the way that people are thinking about gathering. What do you think, for better or worse, this will do for the future of service?
Well, first of all, I would say, you know, the work that you lead in Common Impact as a partner, you all are wonderful. And the models that you have in terms of engaging professionals to leverage their skills to support and improve community is something that we all can learn from. What we are seeing, and we spoke about this last year, there's this theory or concept that we call the civic century. It's about removing barriers and getting people to engage in a number of ways. And what we ask nonprofits and others to think about is not the person as a volunteer, the individual as a volunteer, but just the individual and other ways that they can support a cause. And so we look at donating. We look at how individuals use their voice, either through social media or amplifying an issue in their personal or professional network. We look at voting. We look at, of course, volunteering, service, and social impact organizations. We speak about this in the terms of civic engagement, in, you know, the fact that when you want to solve a problem, you can solve the problem or contribute to solving the problem through volunteerism. But, you know, you might not be able to volunteer either in person or virtually through technology. And what is easier for you to do is to write a check or make a online donation. Or what's easier for you is to amplify a message and write about that issue. So that's what we're seeing, is we're seeing that people are leveraging so many different ways to actually move an issue forward. And we think that that is important in how companies and organizations and nonprofits connect those various tools to, you know, solve a problem. We think is a part of the future and the future of engagement.
So before we hit record here, I said you sounded very calm for someone who's about to run a large conference next week, the week after. And actually, this podcast is going to come out just one day before the Points of Light conference, one of my favorite events every year. Thousands of folks that are engaged in service, volunteerism, broader civic engagement, as you just mentioned, come together to really understand how we can move together and progress against these social challenges with the different work that all of our organizations and all of our initiatives are doing. And has always been such a fun, bright spot in this space, in this industry. And I can imagine, pulling back the curtain, at how you and your team thought about, is it virtual? Do we do it at all? How did you think about moving forward and shifting the format? And then separately, how are you so calm?
Okay, well, let me answer the first one, the last question first. How am I so calm? You know this, Danielle, that as leaders, we all have to compartmentalize. I think you and I were joking that, you know, your day can start and you can have just a off-the-wall meeting at 9 o'clock. 9 a.m. And immediately from that meeting, you have to walk into a totally different meeting at 10 a.m. And, you know, the people have no idea what you just left. So we compartmentalize and we stay focused and we're also always present in the moment. And so I would say that I and my team are present in the moment of making conference the best it can be for everyone who attends. The process of shifting to an online experience was a difficult one because again, this is our 30th year anniversary. We had planned to be in Washington, D.C. We had all these, you know, sparklies and great things planned. And, you know, I know that many of your listeners will know that when you have these events, you have a couple of options. You can either push, which is, you know, we're going to do this later. We'll do it in the fall or we'll do it in the spring. You can cancel or you can pivot. And we say push, pivot, or cancel. Pushing and cancel is always an option, but pivoting actually takes some time. So we engaged in conversations with our partners, with our sponsors, with people who had signed up to come, and we asked them for their input. We took that input and then, you know, turned it into basically the recommendation to our board and our team to say, okay, we're going to pivot. A 3-day in-person conference does not translate to a 2.5-3-day online experience. And so we had to go back to the drawing board to really refresh our product. We had to identify the strongest, you know, speakers. We're really pleased that Common Impact is participating. And I can't wait to listen in on your session, which is about employee engaged in the age of corporate activism. So really excited about that. But, you know, it just takes all hands on deck coming together and really changing your program to meet the new delivery medium, which is for us a virtual online experience.
And it sounds like I remember you opened this up, right? You reduced the registration fee and opened it up so that it can be an even more inclusive environment than it already is. What drove that? I think that's so powerful, especially now when folks are so hungry to gather, to give them access to that sort of experience.
Yes. So here's the bright spot in pivoting. We normally, the last few years, we attract about, you know, 1,500 to maybe 2,000 attendees in person. When we made the decision, we had over 900 people registered for the event to join us in Washington, D.C. in person. We now, actually, I think before our call, I said we had about 5,000 people, and I'm reading my notes to see that we actually have nearly 6,000 individuals who are registered. And the decision to make it complimentary, so it is, you know, open to the public, it is complimentary, and the platform allows us to be able to serve up to 10,000 people. That came by us really asking ourselves the question, what will it take to open this up? So we had to have conversations with our corporate sponsors. They were on board of continuing to make their investment. Points of Light has its own investment. You know, we don't operate conference at a profit. We, you know, it is a part of our mission. And so, you know, we're working to break even. But our ability to open it up to the public and make it complimentary for up to 10,000 guests was really based on us saying, hey, you can't really charge people the same. We thought about a reduced fee, and then we thought it would just be best to refund 100%, 900, over 900 people who had paid, and see if our partners, our corporate partners, would support us. And so pleased to say that that is what happened.
That's amazing. Well, I know from my own experience, we're now able to send a pretty significant cohort from Common Impact. And, you know, we always make the hard decisions of, you know, who are the two or three people that can come to conference this year. And we've been able to open up to the rest of the organization. And it gives particularly some of Common Impact's newer staff a chance to really learn about our space in a way that they wouldn't before. And particularly right now, as everyone is separated and feels a little more disconnected or overly connected on Zoom conference calls that they're having during the day. It's just such a nice benefit to give to folks that are in this space. And would be curious, how do you think about leadership with your people? You mentioned that it's always about your team and being people focused. And I know from firsthand experience that you have an amazing team behind you. How are you thinking about leading internally right now? And what have you had to do or pivot as a leader in this environment?
You know, it's really interesting that you asked this question, because I know we are pre-recording, and when this airs, it'll be right before conference, and we are in between the space of what is happening around race relations, particularly, you know, what happened to Mr. George Floyd in Minnesota. Just before this call, every Friday we have an all staff call, and you know, I have to share that the call this morning, it was about race, and it was about how people were feeling, what is it that we could do in the sector, in the space. And you know, some people know that I write poetry, and so I actually shared a couple of poems with my team. And I was authentic and vulnerable with the team. You know, as an African American woman, I have two sons. They're adult sons. I am fearful for them when they're in certain spaces. And so I would say, for me, and you know what we've done, and how you lead now in particular is to be your authentic self. And sometimes it means being vulnerable and creating space for people to have the conversations that need to be had, because having those conversations then lead to plans and actions to actually do something and be better.
It's an amazing story, and it really, I think, ties so nicely to what you were saying before at a headline level of, you know, being people focused and leaning into people and where they're at and what they can and want to contribute, and being able to demonstrate how human you are as a leader, even as you go from meeting to meeting and are, you know, you refresh yourself to bring and show up in the way that you need to as a leader. Also stripping down those walls and being vulnerable. I remember on this podcast, actually, we had Amy Sample Ward from N10, the CEO of N10, who their conference was in March before it became clear that they would need to cancel. And it's their biggest event. It's a significant part of their revenue for the year. And I asked her a similar question, like, how are you showing up right now as a leader? And she said the same thing. She got into a room with her team and with the decision that the conference was going to be canceled and all of the implications that that had for the strength of the organization at that moment. And she cried a bunch for a long time, right? Like with the rest of her team. And they were able to then, exactly what you said, move into action. They were able to process that together as a group and move into action. And I think so frequently we think about work and life as separate, and particularly in the nonprofit space and in mission-oriented spaces, it's almost impossible to divorce. So so appreciate you sharing that story.
Thank you. And you know, those of us who are in this space, we are very empathetic. When one of us is not okay, none of us are okay. And so it was a risk this morning for me in particular, because you're on Zoom, and you know, if you let go, like, you know, crying on camera with no makeup, don't get any more riskier than that. but it was really a good call. And it was all about humanity and the work that we do together, and how can we be better, and what work can we do to help society be better and tap into the light and the love that is within all of us.
How powerful. And provide them a way to really realize their values, right? And I think that's a huge part of what Points of Light does, is activate people with their passions and their values. It's an incredible, one of the things that I am always seeing and reading is the intent to give, the intent to volunteer
is so much higher than the actual ability to, and points of light providing, and we think about common impact also in this way, providing that activation point where you're able to align those values and those passions and that human piece of us to action. So I think you might have just given me the answer to this, but curious what the best part of your day is.
No, I haven't given you the answer to that. The best part of my day is when I have gotten through all of my emails.
You get like all of your emails? That is so impressive.
No. It's when I get through them. I don't get through all of them, but you know, it's like you try to get through as many as possible. And if you can get through all of the emails that came within the last 24 or 48 hours and actually respond to them, not just open, but acknowledge, respond, forward, that is the best part of my day.
Oh my gosh, you are a stronger woman than I. I don't think I've done that in years. Well, thank you so much, Natalie, for joining me today and for giving me a peek into your history and what Points of Light does. So excited for the conference tomorrow. And you'll have to keep telling me how you remain calm. It's just been a pleasure to hear about your journey and also just hear the strength through the cracks of what you shared. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Danielle. And thank you for your leadership and the work of Common Impact. And thank you for your partnership. So be well.
Thanks so much for listening to Pro Bono Perspectives today. If you like our show and want to learn more, check out our website at commonimpact.org. Leave us a review and tell your friends and colleagues about us. Tune in to our upcoming episodes to hear from everyday leaders using their skills to help their communities.